Hey, Bernadette, I'm pretty excited about having this conversation today. Awesome Women's Day. We're celebrating. Mm-hmm. We'll take a break from some of the things that we've been talking about in the Gospels and the Book of Acts and focusing on Mother's Day. And, you know, you're a great mom, but you're also a great woman.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that kind of got me thinking, and I thought about all of the awesome women that mm-hmm. we know. So this is what the celebration of Mother's Day for me today is going to be. Just awesome Women's Day. Because there are so many cool things in the scriptures, but there are also so many cool things in life related to what women bring. And, you know, I've told this, used this analogy many times before, you know, I'm like a black and white photo
mm-hmm.
and you bring the color into mm-hmm. the photo. Mm-hmm. And I think that popped out of my mouth somewhere in my 30s. And now that we're well down the road, I think that's just...
Now you realize it's true.
It's totally true. It's totally true. So... We want to celebrate that today. We could have just spent our time talking about Proverbs 31, which is, mm-hmm. I don't know, you have to do some backstory on that so that people can understand the context of it.
Yeah, and I think there are so many things in the scripture about women that are sort of hidden. I mean, They're not really, but sometimes the story sort of overpowers or overtakes. We were talking about this last night with someone, how the disciples, whenever they were going out, in the list, there's always men and women that are with them.
Yeah, it's just not a man's club.
Well, yeah, and the 120 that were in the room, in the upper room, waiting for Jesus, well, they didn't know they were waiting for Jesus, but waiting for whatever they were told to wait for. And, you know, you just think about the disciples being there, but there were 120 men and women.
Well, just take, for instance, Proverbs 31. It's easy to read Proverbs 31 and think about what a woman does, rather than thinking about who a woman is. Mm-hmm. And if you've never read it that way before, it turns into a list of, yeah, great women do this, this, and this, and this.
And then when women read it, they think, I don't do that, I don't do that, I
yeah.
don't do that.
But the reality, God's looking at expressions of a heart of who a woman is, and the qualities that are reflected in those tasks or those evidences are just incredibly beautiful. But anyway.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about was Mary, that she treasured up all of these things about Jesus. And I was thinking about that the other day and how that is a female quality. It wasn't only Mary that did that about Jesus. We do that about people we love. We do it about our kids. We hold things in our hearts. And as you and I talked about it, it's like you do that differently than I do.
Totally. Totally. You know, I'm very, pragmatic about using something and then discarding it.
Mm-hmm.
And that treasuring idea that Mary represents about women is really pulling something into your heart and carrying it with you in a totally different way. And I think that's, you know, we've learned about through our relationship that you are more oriented toward nurture. Mm-hmm. I'm more oriented toward protection. And so we really have a different paradigm on how we look at the world.
Some of the other qualities that I've enjoyed seeing in the Word, though, besides that, are like, for instance, Priscilla and Aquila. When Apollos was a little off in his teaching, they went to him. They had him brought, you know, they brought him to their home and explained the gospel clearly to them without any extraneous things that he was adding. And, you know, it wasn't just Aquila that did it. Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned together. And I just think, those are the little things I'm talking about that it's easy to miss. And if you really look for all those things, you realize how impactful. They weren't just a second idea. They aren't just, you know, cast-offs. They're actually important in how the gospel was spread.
Yeah, sometimes read the gospels just with women in mind and see what it does mm-hmm. to expand your horizons about the value of women and the place of women around the life and ministry of Jesus. It's mm-hmm. pretty breathtaking, really.
I think about some of the qualities that are important to me in friendships. And a long time ago, I can remember...
Okay, so as you're telling this story, I mm-hmm. want to say that we also look at friendship differently.
Yes.
You know, men have a different view of friendship. It doesn't mean that it isn't... of depth and of quality. It's just based on different things. So as you are talking about what you value in women friendships right now, guys, you may learn something. So listen up.
Or you may not. I think, well, one thing is when I was quite a bit younger and I remember reading in the Word that there were two kings that didn't like a third king. And it caused those two kings to develop a relationship. And I remember thinking, that is an unhealthy foundation. And it made me go, I want to be sure that I build friendships with people, not based on negative things, not based on who we don't like, or, but rather based on positive things. And so that's just a good starting point for me. And then, you know, just finding people that don't gossip, finding people that are real, finding people that are willing to challenge me, you know, whether I like it or not.
Yeah. So, and that makes me think about the idea of strength. So when you think about what makes you strong as a woman, I remember when we got married and we were checking out our names.
Mm-hmm.
Mine means beloved. David means beloved. Bernadette means strong and brave. And I remember you
used to go, yeah, how feminine is that?
And you used to go, you know.
That's not true.
But it is true. I mean, you know, you are your namesake in that sense.
I believe it now, but I sure didn't then.
But I knew all along.
Yeah, apparently.
But when you think about strength in women that you have seen, what are the kinds of ways you've seen that expressed, or what kind of qualities come out in that? Because, you know, our culture is kind of obsessed with, you know, girl power and mm-hmm. women being as strong as men. And, you know, you can't hardly watch a show without, you know, having one where the woman, you know, beats the snot out of a guy. That's how we've translated it. But you know that inner strength is way different than
mm-hmm.
that.
I think some of it comes by being pruned and tested, just like everyone. That's men and women. I'm losing my train of thought.
You pick back up. We're talking about strength here.
And I just think about women who have learned what you were talking about, girl power. That's where I went. I think that women who have learned how to communicate and to do it without being whiny or being shrill.
Yeah, but, shrill, that's a good word.
But who have learned how to communicate, whether it's to an audience of one or 100, that the point is not saying what I need to say. The point is saying what I need to say in a way that the other person can hear it. Because if I say it in a way that you can't hear it, I haven't really communicated. And I think that once I learned better how to do that, I became stronger in relationships.
So that leads me to ask a question related to how do you see the differences between men and women? Because you've observed this over and over again. You know, you've raised sons, so you've mm-hmm. been around lots of boys and seen them become men. So the differences between men and women as a strength, where do you see that as a positive thing, that we're different than each other? And in what ways does that come out?
Well, I think women, I'm not saying that men are not negotiators. Excuse me, but I think they're often more, I don't know if this is right, more justice-driven, more protection-driven. And women tend in that way then to be more of negotiators. How are we going to work this out and get through this? You can see it as moms deal with kids. It's different than men coming in and saying this is how it's going to happen because of just how they function and how they protect. But women and moms are often protecting the inner part, and so they negotiate that differently.
Yeah, and men
are... And I can see it in raising sons and daughters. My sons were really young when I started realizing they had this instinct of taking care of me. And by the time they were teens, I could see them looking, you know, all around. There was just a different way of protecting that Rachel and I were completely unaware of.
Sure.
You know, Rachel never tried to tackle me. But the boys would, you know, wrap their arms around my legs until I finally said, oh, yeah, you can't, you know, I can't break out of that anymore. You can't do that. So there's just a difference in how they view the world and their strength, physical strength, versus, I think, women who tend to see it more in a nurturing. I'd hate to use that word over and over, but they just see it in a more negotiating heart way.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's true. I think I'm way more interested in the result, whether it's being protective or productive or in success. You value all those things. You just look at them differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, well, you're an awesome woman. Has anybody told you that today?
Yeah, you did.
So, well, you know, I do that every day. So, you know, I kind of skipped ahead on your outline here, which I know throws you off. Is there anything else you want to talk about? I mean, there are so many great, I don't know, examples of women in the scriptures. So we've already talked about making sure you don't just go with the predictable ones, although you can learn a lot from Esther and mm-hmm. Ruth and Deborah, but there are also the ones like Mary and Mary Magdalene and,
well,
you know.
Let's go back to Esther. I think one of the things I find interesting about her, I mean, we always go to Esther and Ruth because they're the big women books, and I tend to shy away from those because that's what everybody talks about. But one of the things about Esther I noticed is that she did learn how to communicate. She learned how to speak up when she needed to with the king. She had nerve to do that. She listened to Mordecai and submitted to him when that was necessary. And she took the eunuch's advice about what kind of a gift to take into the king.
Right.
You know, that probably was a little weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, for, well, I'm not going to go any further there. But anyway, I just think she was really an example when you look at all that. I mean, we tend to look at the overarching greatness of her, but her willingness to step in and be strong when she needed to, her willingness to listen and submit when it was timely, and then just to listen to the eunuch just for advice. That's pretty amazing just how open she was to all those roles.
When we started kicking off this consideration of Awesome Women's Day, we sent out a bunch of requests mm-hmm. for videos and emails, and we didn't just go one direction. We went in a direction of Friends,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you see in Friends, what you saw in your mom, whether she's still around or whether she's not still around, what you see in your wife. And I'm sitting here looking at all these pages uh-huh. right here, and there's no
these
way.
These are the most notes we've ever had.
Well, we could never begin to read them all, but mm-hmm. I think if you are interested in, you know, an encouraging follow-up, particularly as a part of the family, that you'll recognize the names in this, although the principles are good kind of across the board. I'm going to put this, I think we'll put this into our post, and right down at the bottom, there'll be a, you know, a PDF that you can click on and just read these, because mm-hmm. I think, you know, some of them we could use
they're
right now,
really touching.
But I would really rather have you just take a look at them. And then also we'll post some of the video files that we were able to come up with too, because we're talking about generations, everybody from 13-year-olds all the way up to 80-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
I wanted to mention one more thing about female friendships. I wanted to mention Diane Stucka in that one of the things I enjoy about her, just as anything happens, just people things that happen, she is so generous. She's so willing to go, you know, maybe we just misread that, or maybe they had a bad day. She's just so willing to say, you know, I'm not going to hold anything against that person and just under speculation. She's just really generous that way. And I enjoy that. That's been good for me. And then also just to be an initiator, you know, when you have a friend that initiates, it's really cool. So, you know, also be that person.
Then you mentioned the example of Diane, and I'm kind of looking down through here, and there are just some really great statements by husbands, great mm-hmm. statements by moms and wives. My memories, and this is a mom that's gone, my memories of my mom are her love, her smile, her delight in my husband, the kids, the grandkids. I also remember her warm hospitality, good cooking, baking, her readiness for any outdoor or travel adventure. And she did a great job of taking care of my dad for 60 plus years. I miss him.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the sentiments, you know, just because somebody's gone doesn't mean that their impact isn't still being mm-hmm. felt. And just because you are a young woman doesn't mean that your impact is diminished in any way, because
right.
it's unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for joining us. Anything else you wanted to say? I mean, I don't want to cut you off.
No.
There, at the bottom of the PDF you get, there's something that talks about Genesis 3. Why was it good for Adam not to be alone? That's a great question. Ruth, how does Ruth encourage you to find refuge in God? Proverbs 31, we talked about earlier. Is the focus here more on what or the who?
Mm-hmm.
Which is an interesting concept. And then there's some passages on Mary, and I really got caught up in those this week, and got caught up in the emotion of Mary being a mom, but also being a follower of Jesus, and then somebody who was waiting for Jesus to come and bring her home.
Yeah, and I think for me, right in the beginning, that Eve was given because she was so needed is really a cool thing to think about. And I also think the idea that Satan tried to determined to tempt Eve instead of Adam speaks a lot to that, because she's a life giver and she was beautiful, and he did not like being displaced. Yeah. And
so he went for the jugular.
Yeah. And those, just when you actually look at that, what that means to me, then I, a woman, that's a threat. And what a strength there is to choose to be a threat to that instead of giving in.
So on this awesome Women's Day, we just are grateful for each one of you and for what you bring into your home. Don't underestimate it. You know, don't put yourself down. You are made exactly the way God wants you to be. And there's always hope for the future when you put your hands to pleasing God through everything that you do. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.